everyone. It's great to have you with us. Today we're in a series called The Empowered Life. We're talking about purpose, the empowerment of purpose. Everything that God created has purpose. Purpose is so powerful because a life that knows its purpose is a life that can have direction, focus, significance, satisfaction, fulfillment. The Bible says that David fulfilled his purpose in his generation. Acts 13:36. Now when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep and he was buried with his ancestors. Now, not many people, I believe, will end up doing that first part. The reality is that many people will miss fulfilling God's purpose for their life. To fully understand purpose so that we don't miss our purpose, we need to go right back to God's original design. God's original design is that God created us to live in an amazing life with Him. When He created this world, He made a statement at the end of each day of creation. Each day He appraised His own work and He said these words, "It is good." But at the end of the week on the sixth day, He looked at Adam and Eve and He said this, "It's very good." You see, God does not do things with mediocrity. And He was truly pleased with what He had done. Point number one, we were made on purpose. Genesis 1:27. So God created mankind in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. He created us in His likeness with abilities, capabilities, gifts, talents. You know, you look at the Milky Way. Do you know the Milky Way is only one galaxy in our universe? Astronomers are now telling us that the universe holds as many as 200 billion galaxies. That's beyond anything we can comprehend. Yet God says that when He made man, that mankind was His crowning achievement. He made this universe, the animals, everything that as far as we can see and beyond and what we can imagine. Yet man is the only one that was made in His image. Now, what does that mean? Well, it doesn't mean that we look like Him. See, when we are made in the image of God, it means that God gives us this ability to communicate with Him, to relate with Him, the God of the universe. You and I have the ability to communicate with the God of the universe because we are made in His image. The Apostle Paul says in 1 John chapter 1 that God is Spirit. And the Bible tells us that God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He's three in one. He's three in one. He's a triune being. But you know what? So are we. We are body, soul, and spirit. We are spirit beings. And because God is spirit, and because we are spirit beings, we can relate and we can connect. Listen, we were made on purpose. In His original design, point number two, we were made for a love relationship. And Genesis tells us that there was this intimate relationship that took place between God and humans in the very beginning. God put Adam in the garden and He would join Adam every day in the evening. There was this close relationship. There was communion and there was love. You know, it's important for us to understand that love is God's most definitive, His defining quality. See, God doesn't just love. He is love. And love is His very essence. And if you remove love from God, well, He just ceases to be God. That's what John said. John said, God is spirit, God is light, and God is love. See, God determines to give us, and we can only imagine what it must have been like for Adam and Eve. God determines to give us an unhindered relationship with Himself. And as we look back at God's original design, that's what He wanted to give us. But not only that, point number three, in God's original design, we were made on purpose for a purpose. In Genesis chapter 2, if you read it, it says that God created Adam and Eve to do good works. So we see that God put Adam and Eve in the garden to work it and to care for it. And He gave them dominion. He gave them authority to rule over everything that He had created. We were created with a mission. And that's what Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says in the New Testament. It says that God created us in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God planned that we would live a life of good works. He designed us to live with purpose. Having purpose, so important, so vital, because it's purpose that can give people life and energy. And if you take away someone's purpose, well, then all you have left is futility and hopelessness. So when you're in a place where you're suffering or you're in sickness or you're in turmoil or in dark situations, even during COVID-19, we will survive because we have this thing that empowers us and pulls us through. It's called purpose. Corrie Ten Boom was one of the most amazing women who ever lived. Such a godly woman. Corrie Ten Boom, I'll tell you a bit of her background. She was born in Holland in 1892. During World War II, the Germans invaded her country. The Ten Boom family was providing a hiding place for Jewish people. In 1944, Corrie, at the age of 52, her father at 84, and her sister Betsy were arrested and taken to prison by German Nazi soldiers. In that prison, Corrie was severely beaten, tortured. She was placed in isolation, and she was given very little to eat or drink. The German soldiers wanted to know about her connection with the underground that they believed were assisting her family in hiding Jewish people. But Corrie, severely beaten, starving, cold, very weak, did not give in and never gave up to die, like so many others in that prison did. The question is why? And the answer is that Corrie Ten Boom had a purpose to live for. So what was that purpose? Well, you know, during her isolation in her small cell with no bed, only straw, on a cold, damp floor on which to rest, she had but one friend. She had a little friend, an aunt, a tiny little aunt, and she would give this little aunt a few crumbs of her bread whenever it appeared between the cracks in the floor. So, although a seemingly insignificant purpose, that was her purpose for surviving. And later on, she was placed in a barracks with the other women. And then the evenings, after a long, hard, toilsome day of labor and given very little food to eat, Corrie would take out her secret little Dutch Bible made up of four Gospels, and she would read it, providing all the other women with great hope. You know, with death all around, the promise of eternal life and the glory of heaven gave all the women hope for the future. You know, Corrie Ten Boom survived the Nazi prison camps, and she was released from the prison at the end of the war. And then Corrie spent the rest of her life passing on the message of God's love and forgiveness. You know, for over 30 years, Corrie visited many countries, telling bitter, sad, lost people how wonderful God is. And she demonstrated the forgiveness that Jesus first gave us. Corrie was able to forgive others, even her German captors. Corrie wrote many books about her life experiences and her faith for the sole purpose of serving God and God's people. She died in 1983 at the age of 91. Purpose empowers us. Living with purpose is a fundamental element of God's original design. Unfortunately, many people try to find their purpose apart from God. You know, God gave us His purpose in His act of creation, and we have to look at the original design in order for us to find our significance as people, as created beings. In Luke's Gospel chapter 1 is the story about an angel, Gabriel, and he visits Zechariah while he's performing his duties in the temple. Now, Gabriel begins to tell Zechariah that he's going to have a son. Now, Zechariah's wife, Elizabeth, had been barren, and she was well beyond the age of childbearing. But Gabriel, the angel, begins to describe to Zechariah the son that they're going to have, John the Baptist. And he describes all the things that he's going to be doing, what he will do, and this impact that he's going to have on people. So you see that John the Baptist was not an accident, that he was pre-planned, that he was created for a purpose. See, he was not an accident, and you're not an accident. God designed you in the same way with a purpose. God gave your life significance. He created you to live in the freedom, in the joy, in the beauty, and the holiness of his design. That was his original design. But sin came into the world through humanity's disobedience. Adam and Eve disobeyed God, and all that God intended in his original design was lost. They were deceived by the devil. God told them, don't eat from this one tree called the tree of good and evil. Don't eat from it. But the devil deceived it and convinced them to eat it, and they sinned. And all that God intended in his original design was lost. What was lost? Three major things. Three things that were so beneficial and so important to mankind. Here are the three things. Number one, a lost relationship with God. Adam and Eve, who once had this intimate relationship with God, were separated from God. Not slightly diminished in intimacy, totally broken intimacy. Isaiah 59 verse 1 says, but your iniquities, your sins have made a separation between you and your God. That's what sin does, even today. See, there was a distinct break in humanity's relationship with God. And Adam and Eve were banished from the garden. Second major thing that was lost, lost authority. We also see that authority over Satan was surrendered. God gave Adam and Eve the responsibility to rule over the earth, even over Satan, who was cast down to earth for his rebellion against God. But instead of ruling over the earth and everything in it, Adam and Eve handed the rule over to Satan. And that's how Satan became ruler of this world, the prince of power over the air. Instead of being filled with God's glory, the world is now filled with Satan's wickedness, his diabolical schemes that permeates the world and affects so many individuals. And the third thing that was lost, number three, lost purpose and significance. Humans lost purpose and significance when they lost the relationship with God. Now, some of us might think, well, I know a lot of people who live with significance and purpose and they don't know God. But I say, no, they're trying to find significance and purpose to what they are doing. But they're not living with true significance and purpose. But they're trying to find their significance and purpose and value through their success. You can have all the success in the world, but it's hollow and it's empty. And it's not enough to really satisfy the human soul. See, you can't really have those things without having a relationship with God. And sadly, some of us believers, we live that way too. You know, in addition to our lost relationship with God, our personal relationships with other people were compromised. Relationships with others unravel because of sin in our life. And so consequently, the fullness of life and health were also lost way back there during the time that we call the fall in Genesis. So, really, it was a hopeless situation. A totally hopeless situation until God did something. Fast forward about 4,000 years. God intervenes. In love, he comes down from heaven to earth in the form of his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus comes and he announces the coming of a brand new kingdom. The rule and reign of God. The kingdom of God is near. And in Luke's Gospel chapter 19, Jesus announces, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. What was lost? Lost relationship, intimacy with God, lost authority over sin, death, the devil, lost purpose, significance. But through the life, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus, all that was lost was suddenly restored back to humanity. That is the good news. The kingdom of God has now come. God's kingdom is full of life, full of health, full of purpose, full of power. Listen, we were made on purpose for a purpose. Many people go through their entire life without knowing their purpose. God has a purpose for you, and it's not a secret. Ephesians 2 verse 8 to 10, the Passion Version. Listen to this carefully. We have become his poetry, a recreated people, that will fulfill the destiny he has given each of us, the purpose he has given each of us, for we are joined to Jesus, the Anointed One. Even before we were born, God planned in advance our destiny, our purpose, and the good works we would do to fulfill it. There's a footnote at the end by those words, good works, in that scripture. And the footnote says this, although implied, these good works make up our destiny. As we yield to God, our prearranged destiny comes to pass, and we are rewarded for simply doing what he wanted us to accomplish. As we yield to God, our purpose comes to pass. Our purpose, our destiny, is made up of good works. Works which we will find ourselves doing as we simply yield to God, to his lordship daily. Our prearranged purpose will come to pass. We will find his will. We will find his purpose for our life as we follow him. Amen. Jesus invites us into his life. I want to say that again. Jesus invites us into his life. For too long, we've called unbelievers, people to just invite Jesus into your life. Well, Jesus doesn't want to be in your life. Your life is a wreck. Jesus calls you into his life. His life isn't boring or purposeless or static. It's wild, it's exhilarating, and it's unpredictable. The early disciples immediately found out as soon as they started to follow Jesus. Their life is turned upside down. You know, some people wander around most of their lives looking for their life's purpose. You know, some would define it as being successful in the business world, or maybe having a lot of money, or being the smartest one, or the number one at work, or having a solid retirement pension plan in the golden years. Or maybe they would say it would be to provide everything for their family. You know, seeing their children succeed, or living long enough to see their grandkids. I mean, those are good things. Those are not bad things. Those are not wrong things to have. But listen, there is more to life. All those things are great, but there's more than that. I read about American psychologist Abraham Maslow. He developed a theory of life's motivation called Maslow's hierarchy. And he describes this process by which an individual progresses from meeting basic needs in their life, such as food and shelter, to meeting safety requirements, maybe accumulating a certain amount of wealth that gives them a sense of security. That could be part of it. But then they move on to satisfying their social needs through relationships. And then they move on to satisfying their self-esteem by maybe some sense of achievement or a title. But then they come to this point called self-actualization. After all these other needs are satisfied, they're faced with this question: is this what my purpose in life is? And we see this point of self-actualization in the lives of the early first disciples, the fishermen. See, these Peter and Andrew, they were brothers, and they were fishing. They were cleaning their, actually they were cleaning their nets by the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus comes along. Now, they were probably in the situation where they were cleaning these nets, and they were probably saying to each other, you know, Peter, I'm getting tired of cleaning nets every day. I mean, this is a great business. I mean, we're doing well. But, you know, there must be something more than this to life. Is this all that we were created to do? Is this our life's purpose? They're coming to this point of self-actualization. See, they were successful businessmen. They had nets. They had boats. They had a thriving family business. They fished by the Sea of Galilee. Galilean fishermen were very prosperous because everybody wanted fish from the Sea of Galilee. They sold it to markets in nearby towns, to outer regions. So they were successful. They were doing what they thought they were called to do. But then Jesus comes along and he says to them, "Come, follow me." Luke chapter 10, 5 verse 10. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on the shore. They left everything and followed him. Followed him. You know, there are several words or phrases, and I've heard people use these phrases depending on the generation that they grew up in. Several words or phrases like this: "I'm trying to find myself. I want to find my destiny. Lord, what is my calling? Lord, do I have a purpose?" All four are asking the same thing. Simply put, if you want to know your God-given destiny and purpose, then you need to connect with your Creator. When Jesus saw people who didn't have a relationship with God, such as the tax collectors like Zacchaeus and Matthew, he gave them purpose and he gave them life. When he encountered people who were demonized, he set them free and restored their dignity. When he saw people living with the indignities of leprosy, he didn't pass them by. He extended his compassion to them and he restored to them what was lost. Finally, let me add this. In order to fulfill your God-given purpose and destiny, God puts you into his church. The purpose is his kingdom. The vehicle to advance Jesus' kingdom is the local church, his body. And if you're not a vibrant part of his church, you can miss the purpose of God for your life. God is calling us, the church, to bring restoration to lost people. And it's time for us to discern what's happening around us. It's time to shake off the fear of COVID-19 and remember that we have a call and a purpose to fulfill in this world. And it's time for us to show God's love and God's compassion to this broken world. You know, we all may have wondered, like, why are we here? Why are we alive? But listen, you will find, you will realize your God-given purpose by daily following Jesus as Lord, not just as Savior, but as Lord, as Master, Lord, and Savior of your life, and by denying yourself and taking up your cross like Jesus told us to do. You know, it's very simple. It's not complicated. Finding and understanding your purpose. It's not rocket science. Finally, I want to leave you with a benediction blessing. It's a blessing about serving God wherever you are. Richard Halverson is a former chaplain of the United States Senate, and he used the following blessing, benediction, at the end of each service or message for many years in his ministry. Now, I want to declare this benediction, this blessing over your life. Wherever you go, God is sending you. Wherever you are, God has put you there. God has a purpose in your being where you are. Christ, who indwells you by the power of His Spirit, wants to do something in you and through you. Believe this and go in His grace, His love, His power, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen and amen. You know, the Bible tells us that Jesus came to give you a good life and life more abundantly. And if you're ready and you're willing to give up your old way of life, you just need to believe and you receive Him. Number one, believe. Believe that God wants you to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for you. He paid for your sins through the shedding of your blood. Believe that no matter what you've done, that God wants to forgive you. Secondly, receive Jesus. Receive Jesus into your life as Lord and Savior. Receive His forgiveness. Receive His Spirit, and He will give you a new life and a new purpose for living. So today I invite you, if you've never done this before, I invite you to bow your head and to whisper the prayer that will change your life for your eternity. So bow your heads and say this prayer after me. Lord Jesus, I believe in you, and I receive you into my heart to be Lord of my life forever. Thank you, Jesus, for the gift of salvation and eternal life in heaven. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. If you sincerely said that prayer, welcome to the family of God. You are now ready to discover and to start living a new life to the full. If you made that decision, let us know. Press the button near the bottom of the screen. Let us know that you did that. And then later and after that, call us. There'll be a number on the screen where you can ask for prayer. So call that number and we'll connect you to someone who will tell you what your next faith step in God will be. Receiving Jesus Christ, believing and receiving him are just the first step in your life. God is way more for you. And we want to tell you what your next step faith is. Thank you so much for joining us today. It was awesome to have you. God bless you. We'll see you next week.